Amen. Thank you. Well, today is going to be a fairly organic conversation. We are not totally flying by the seat of our pants. We did meet to talk about what we were doing, but we don't know what we're going to say. We don't. I think we've all as individuals sort of planned things. So this is hopefully you.
That's not what you do every week.
Yeah, it is. Sure. So, this will be an interesting. We don't know what's going to happen here. Hopefully, it's good. We'll see. But I'll introduce before we get into the questions. So today we're talking about bless. You probably hear that word a lot if you come to church regularly here. If you don't, we're thrilled to have you here this morning. We think it's a great morning to be here. And this goes way back into the early parts of the scripture. In Genesis 12, the very first book in the Bible, there's a pivotal moment where the Lord appears to Abraham, or Abram at that time. And even if you haven't grown up in church, you probably heard that name, Father Abraham, many sons and daughters and all that. So Father Abraham, we go way back to him. And the Lord said something amazing to him in Genesis 12, 1. There's a promise. And the promise from that, I'll go ahead and read it. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. As a church that follows Jesus, we believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise, and that in Christ we are looking to bless the whole world, all the peoples of the earth through the Lord and through Jesus, that line that we have. And a method that we talk about often, we call it BLESS. It's an acronym. The B stands for begin with prayer. So we want to start by praying for people that the Lord will bless them. The L is for listen. We want to be people who listen to others. Everybody's going through something. Right now you're surrounded in a room by people who are going through their own battles, their own troubles, and we want to be people who listen. E, this is everybody's favorite, it's eat. The Lord gave us food, and the Lord wants us to eat with each other. It's a blessing, and that's part of the plan of blessing people, is by eating together. The S is for serving. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And so we want to be people, too, as we follow Jesus, who look to find ways to serve other people in our lives. And then the last S is for share stories. Again, we all have stories, and we hope as we develop relationships that we'll get a chance to share some of our story and about how the Lord has helped pull us through some hard times and shown good to us, and just real-life stories. So that is the acronym we often use, and we will now start with the first question. Why do we think it's important to bless others?
I'll go first. So to me, I think that blessing is just another word for love. I think it's a tangible expression of love, that the love of Jesus that we see in our lives. And we can bless others with our words, we can bless and love others with our prayers, and we can bless and love others with our actions. But I think a lot of times in the church, when we say love, we should love others, it's associated with a feeling that we have. Like, we love our family, or we, you know, love our significant other. Like, we associate love with a feeling, but love is also an action or an expression. And so when we say blessing, if we can kind of equate like blessing with love, blessing is just an outward expression, or that love in action. Idea of blessing. So I think it's important to bless because we're called to love others, but that's just kind of that external expression.
Yeah, I think that when I reflected a bit on bless this weekend, I thought one of my favorite things about am I there? Oh, there it is. One of the coolest things I think about the community of God is that blessing, you know, I reflect on Jesus' words that you should love your neighbor as yourself, and that as yourself part gets overlooked sometimes, I think. And I think the cool thing about blessing is that blessing is not, it's not purely altruistic, and it's also not selfish, but it's like a both and. Like, when we love others, when we bless others, we also ourselves are made better. Like, we are made better by being in community and helping others and supporting each other. And I think that we don't have to make this choice when we think about blessing. It's not this choice of being like fully altruistic or fully selfish. It's like a both and. We get to build ourselves up at the same time as we get to build others up. It's a both and. And I think that one of the best parts about like becoming a part of the beloved family of God is that when we bless others, we are blessed by that. And that correlation, it's just a natural correlation of us becoming more like Christ. Becoming more like Christ means being a part of community, means all the words we've talked about, right? Becoming, believing, belonging, like, and blessing is just an outpouring of all of those things. So it's just a natural progression, and it builds us up while building others up simultaneously. I just think it's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm blessed to serve on a staff and the different personalities that we have up here. And I was thinking, I'm probably going to be the most negative one here. I'm kind of the bad news, the Eeyore of the group. But I was thinking, like, just in terms of even, like, birth order, I'm part of a fantastic group that meets before these services called Starting Point. And we've been talking about following the rules. And our group has really broken along lines. Like, our firstborns tend to be rule followers, and our babies tend to be, rule. I like to break the rules. So you may not be part of that stereotype, and we get that. But I like that we have these babies here, these younger siblings, and I'm the older, boring sibling that follows rules. Okay,
you
so some people appreciate the rule followers. But when so I'm thinking, like, we're supposed to, right? I mean, it's clearly said in the Bible. We have this right from the beginning, before there's even 10 commandments. I mean, there's only been one rule so far in the Bible. It was don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it was broken. So at this point, there's no even rules, but the Lord made this promise that we would be a blessing. So it's something that we should do. It's a supposed to as well. So there's that obedience. So I sort of already covered my answer with the Genesis. I'm looking at the Bible, and it says in there we're part of what Jesus is doing, blessing the world. All right, let's go to question number 2. When was a time that someone blessed you in a way that has impacted your life?
Yeah, I can start. A couple weeks ago, I was going through a bunch of old like keepsakes. I keep all like my cards and letters that people have sent me, and I was going through, and I found this, I don't know when it was from, but it was when I was a kid, and I went to South Memorial Drive Church of God in Newcastle, Indiana, and I got this letter. It looks like this, and it says this: thank you so much for being a part of our worship service last Sunday morning at South Memorial Drive Church of God. It's wonderful to see young people like you taking a part in leadership in our worship services. All glory to God. We are anxious to watch you grow into the person that God calls you to be. You are an encouragement and an inspiration. May God richly bless you. And it's signed Dan and Martha Webb. And I don't know if you remember sending these out, and I don't remember like how I was involved in service that day, but I got this letter in my mailbox at church. And just knowing that there was like someone in my congregation like praying for me and speaking blessing over me to God to, like, grow me into the person he was calling me to be in leadership in services. And now, like, I'm on staff at the church that you attend. And so I was really encouraged by that, but I found this 2 weeks ago. And so you can definitely bless people with your words, and I believe that words have power. And I believe that these, along with many other words, is what got me on stage here today. So I'm really thankful for Dan and Martha.
When I began to reflect on all of the, I mean, truly all the people who have been a blessing to me, and there's so many who I could say that I stand on their shoulders, because I just feel really grateful to have had a lot of people. But because somebody just celebrated a 70th birthday yesterday, I thought that I would maybe talk about him. And he was just up here. His name's Alan Figge, if you don't know. But one of the ways that Alan blessed me early on in my adulthood is that he hired a bunch of us to work for him. And while I'm sure he just needed young help because construction is hard, it wasn't just about that. And what I love and what was such a blessing is that he incorporated his faith and his desire to help young people into his work. It wasn't just work. It was work, but surely there were people more qualified than myself as a 17-year-old to do construction. But what a blessing that was. And really, honestly, it set me up in ways that I don't even think about, you know, nowadays. There's so many little things. This past week, you know, something broke at my house. And I was just like, okay, so I just went to the store and I fixed it. Like, I acknowledge that a lot of people can't do that. And while that maybe isn't like a faith thing, it's like, those life lessons and that time spent was just truly a blessing to incorporate, you know, work and life and faith, to have them all be integrated was a lesson that I learned early on from Alan. So thank you, Alan. Mm.
Yeah. And when I started out as a youth pastor, I was in Covington, Indiana. And the very first week, we had to take a trip to Denver, Colorado. And the church didn't really have the trip planned out, so we had to figure out a place halfway between Covington, Indiana, and Denver, Colorado. So we have this thing called the Church of God Yearbook that has all the different congregations listed. And so I just pulled out an atlas. If you're older than, you guys know what an atlas is? Okay. Kids, you have no idea. I know. But that's a map where we tried to figure out how to go. And so I looked around Interstate 70 in Kansas and started looking at the towns and calling all the Church of God congregations in that area. And there was one in Junction City, Kansas that I found. And even though we had like 2 days notice, they said, yeah, we'd be happy to have your, we'll find showers, you can sleep in our church. And so we did that and never met these people before. But when we showed up, we got there and we were a very rural, very white congregation. And I learned that there was some really like bad history with this town too. But we show up and the pastor is black. And it's an African-American congregation. And my kids, the kids that we didn't even know, we had just like been traveling. Our air conditioning was broken. We'd had like an 11-hour trip in July in Indiana to Kansas. And when we told them that, we just saw fear. And this, the only way that I could describe this experience is God was there. Because we had an incredible time with this church. They had a service for us. And Jenny and I, these kids who were strangers to us, just sat there listening that night, hearing their stories and the kids saying, I was so afraid, but this was awesome. This was the best church experience I've ever had. The people at this church are incredible. And we just saw like healing and some good things happening right off the bat. Well, that pastor, the youth pastor, and I stayed good friends, and he ended up moving to St. Louis, Missouri. And at a time when I was at my lowest point as a pastor, really discouraged, I woke up on a Sunday morning and Jenny was gone. She was with her parents, I think. And I only had 2 kids at that time. Cora wasn't with us yet. But I was getting them ready for church, thinking, I'm too discouraged to show up at church today. Like, I feel like everybody hates me. And I go in there, I'm just like discouraged. And I thought, I need to talk to a pastor. And so I have a good friend who's a pastor in Cincinnati, and I called him Sunday morning. He didn't answer. Right after I hung up the phone with him, I got a call from that pastor. He was in St. Louis. And it was just incredible. So I think about this a lot because my aunt had just offered us that weekend's tickets to a St. Louis Cardinal game in the evening. So like the only time I'd ever done it, they had a rain out and there was a doubleheader at night. So me and the kids were going to go to St. Louis. And I said, you're not going to believe this. This guy's name's Michael, but we're going to be in St. Louis tonight. And he said, you know, because there was like a tornado in Indiana. He's like, I just felt like calling you and I have this message for you. You've got nothing to prove. And I thought, well, that's really good. That's what I need to hear, because people don't think very highly of me, and I'm awfully discouraged right now. But he said that, and so we went to St. Louis, and he had a large family. They were living in a hotel, and they had almost nothing. And he brought one of his kids who had Down syndrome, but they brought me a card. They were behind the fence and slipped me this card just to say, hey, we love you. We've been praying for you. It was a note from all his kids and $300 in that note. And that gift was way too sacred for me to use it. I gave it to somebody else who had a need. But like, that's always just like that person has no idea how often I think about that too. No matter how bad things are, hey, you've got nothing to prove. Just trust in the Lord. So Michael has been a huge blessing to me. Somebody that I just know through long distance relationship. All right. So next we are at how can someone bless others in everyday life?
Personally, I think it's just really as simple as like getting back to the basics, getting back to the golden rule, right? You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, love others, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And it's kind of, in a way, it's what we're doing this morning, right? It's like, it's reflecting on how someone's made you feel special in your life or how someone's impacted you in a way that was truly, life-changing or it doesn't have to be life-changing, even just something that like made your day or whatever, just reflecting on the good that you have experienced and looking for opportunities to do that for others. Like, to me, it's like it really breaks down to be that simple. And I think the way personally that I'm working on this right now is, I don't know if anyone realizes this, but I'm very distractible. And we live in a society full of distractions, and so I have a really hard time just being constantly distracted, and so I've really been trying to spend time recently just being present with the people that I'm with, you know, setting my phone down when I get home, making sure that I'm really making eye contact and listening to people when we're in a meeting or whatnot. Just being more present is a way that I feel loved when I'm with people. And so it's, as I've reflected, it's a way that I want to make sure to do the same thing. So that's a little way in like everyday life that I'm personally taking that on.
Yeah, I think my reflection on this was similar to yours, like from the same space of do unto others what you would have them do unto you. That golden rule. And mine is, I think taking things off of people's plate is so important. In the same way that we are so distracted, we are so busy. And I know a lot of us have read like the book by John Mark Comer, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Mm. But this idea that we are hurried all the time. We are like so stressed about a lot of things. And I know for me, like when someone is like, let me take care of this for you. Like, I'm just going to take care of this, and you don't even have to worry about it. Like, that is, like, such my love language. Like, I cannot tell you. It just takes so much, like, a task that you don't want to do. So you think of, like, someone's like, I've got to do all these things, but I also need to go get groceries. It's like, well, I'm going to the grocery store. Like, can I pick up your stuff when I go and drop them off at your house? Or things like, hey, I know that you need childcare for this night. Like, instead of, like, trying to track down a babysitter, like, can I offer to do that? Or even things here, it's like, you know, not to be this person, but it's like, we need help in children's ministry, right? And so it's like, what are some ways that you can, like, take some something off somebody else's plate? And it's just on your plate a little bit, right? We've all got stuff, but that's, like, part of the community is, like, I can take this off your plate when I have the space. And then later on, like, maybe someone will come and take something off my plate, like, when they have the space. But I think that comes to listening to people, and that blessed method, it comes down to, all right, what does this person need? It sounds like they're really stressed about this, like, one thing or this one task. And so how is a way that I can support them or encourage them? Even something simple as maybe someone's, like, healing from something traumatic, and while you can't heal that person, though that would be really cool, you can't heal that person, but maybe it's, like, I can give them some, like, encouraging words, or I can make an impact here to something else to remind them of, like, the good things in their life, or know that they are supported. Like, all of those things, it's like, that's what they need. And so meeting a need or taking something off someone's plate, I think, is so important as we think about community, but also as we think about bless.
Yeah. And it sounds, you talked about love language. It sounds like you were talking about acts of service. There's words of affirmation and physical touch and quality time and gifts. Thank you. So those are different ways to bless people that have been identified, and maybe you have a particular way that you like to be loved and or like to be blessed and bless others. The first one that came to my mind is a very recent one. And it was the last night that Vila, our oldest daughter, was at home before college. And Jenny had done this thing from the very beginning where she prayed a blessing over them every night. The Lord bless you and make you grow in wisdom and stature with God and man, make you a person after God's heart. And so every night, and so that last night before college coming in, and that was probably our most emotional moment of being like, okay, for 18 years, every night that's been done, that routine, and here we go, and now she's ready, and it's good. So like seeing that as words and other examples, like I love it when people bless my kids as a father, like when people do things nice for my kids, like it endears me to them. If people do mean things to my kids, I don't like them, you know, and I think our Heavenly Father's like that too. But I was thinking of even things like kids at church camp, and I remember them coming home and I heard that your wife, Jenny Mott, had sent them a note, and I thought that is a really cool thing. Like, she's got other kids there, but she took the time to, like, identify my kid and give them a word of encouragement, and it meant a lot. And I think a lot about those little things, too, like the people who are just really, you can count on them. Because we're blessed to have Ann Figge in our office. I call her a rock star because she's just very dependable and responsible, and that means a ton to me to have people who will do those things and, like, think about the things that maybe we don't think about or forget. John and Kathy Crank, they've really blessed my kids so much just by little things for birthday all the time. And I could just name so many people, and I don't want to get into that because I'd leave people out. But sometimes I think a grand gesture gets too much attention, but it's the little acts of love. And Mother Teresa said, don't do great things for God, do small things with great love. And I see that, and that just makes a big difference to me. So I want to acknowledge just a couple more here. Gloria Munn, who's not with us anymore. She's in a better place right now. But just like the steadiness, and to have her be like a really influential person has given Meridian some really good DNA. So I just really appreciate all that. Those are just great ways to bless that maybe are overlooked sometimes. All right, so what closing words would you like to share to encourage our church family as we seek to bless?
Well, I basically just want to reiterate what I said at the beginning was it's almost like a magical potion, not to be weird about it, but blessing others blesses you, period. My favorite band, Switchfoot, maybe you've heard of them, they have a lyric that I love, and it says, is this the world you want? Because you're making it. Mm. And that's, like, do you want to feel blessed? Like, then bless others. Like, it's just really, like, that simple, and it just gets back to that golden rule, like we said, like, do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Like, do you want a world full of blessing? Then be a blessing, because you're making it. You're making this world, and that's about all I got to say.
And I think that you should have the last word on this question, so I'll go ahead and interject here. But I've been thinking about the blessed life, and I even heard pastors say all kinds of crazy things, don't we? Just because a pastor says something, it doesn't mean it's the gospel. But I heard a pastor say that he was blessed and that everything just worked out for him, like every circumstance. And I was just thinking, like, wow, that's kind of like some illusion of the blessed life that people have. Like, how are you doing? Blessed, highly favored, whatever. But what I've seen more is that the people who've been the biggest blessings to me have gone through a lot of suffering. And that a blessed life doesn't mean that your life is smooth and easy or you have lots of circumstances going your way. And I was thinking about somebody who was a huge blessing to my family. His name was Bart Charnstrom. And Bart had polio at a young age and other diseases. And so he had a lot of adversity to face. And when we got here, is like every week he would come with Indigo, the bus route, and then he would leave, and we never knew when they were going to show up. And he was just the sweetest guy. And we spent so many long, frustrating moments after church, or just like, when are they going to come? We don't know. And he'd be like telling us, just wheel me out there and they'll pick me up. And but somewhere along the lines in those stories and the times that my kids spent with him, I had no idea the kind of impact that Bart was making. But when he passed away, they were so just devastated by his death. And even when 2020 hit a little bit later, they kept saying, at least Bart is not here for this. That was the silver lining in 2020 and all that was going on. So I just want to say that if you're going through a hard time, that doesn't mean you're not blessed. Doesn't mean you're punished for something wrong you did. And over we see this in the scriptures too, because they went through hard times. And Paul even said these things. We don't want you to be unaware of the difficulties we faced. We despaired even of life itself. I mean, that's the guy writing the Bible. Said he got so low that he despaired of life itself, but it happened so that we trust not in ourselves, but in the God who raises the dead. So that is, we follow the one who was crucified and risen. And that's a big part of life, is dealing with the suffering that we face and others. And so if you're suffering, that doesn't mean that you're not blessed or can't. Because some of the people who have blessed me the most have been people who you would never guess what they've gone through. So we comfort others with the comfort that we've received ourselves.
Yeah, and I think that leads me, I think that leads me to what I think is the most important part of when we go out and bless, is we have to be confident that blessing people will work. Like, you individually, when you do a little thing, it will bless someone. I think sometimes we let it get so big and so something the church should be doing, we forget it's something that we should be doing. But we individually, like you individually, have the opportunity to bless someone. And when we forget that, we stop blessing people. And so we have to have the confidence in the fact of like, yeah, I can make an impact in the world that I'm living in. We live in a big world, but you're significant enough to make an impact. Like, we all are. And when we go to bless people, like, we have to understand, carry that intentionality of, you know, this will work. Like, blessing people is good for the world, right? And kind of like Brandon said, like, the world is kind of what we make it. And, you know, if we put blessing out into the world, like, people will be blessed. And so, like, that is the good news of, you know, the church and Jesus, is that, like, even in hardship, we can still bless others. And even when someone is experiencing hardship, like, something little can make a huge impact on their life. And so I think that's one thing I want to say, is that, like, you got to have confidence that, like, not only can, like, we as a church here at Meridian, a small piece of the kingdom, can make an impact, but, like, you individually can make an impact. And that leads us to my second point, which is, at the beginning of the year, we talked about the bless method. And we said this at the very beginning of the year, but I want to reiterate it now. And it's that even if we get to the end of this method, you go through all the steps, you do them in order, you've been like praying for this person, and you've talked to them a lot, and you've built all these relationships, and you get to the end, and they never accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior, them experiencing the love of God and the blessing that you've given them in their life is enough. Like we have to believe that the love of Christ is enough, and it is sufficient, right? Like, a statement that they make, and it's like, we might not ever see the impact that that makes in their life. We might not ever see it, but we have to believe that the love of Christ that we're sharing with others is enough. And so my challenge to you is, as you go out to bless people, or you find it hard, like, you don't know where you should be blessing people or how you should be blessing people, one, look at, do I believe that I can make an impact? Genuinely, do I think that I could change someone's day or change someone's afternoon or change someone's week? Do I believe that I have the power to do that? Because you do. For good, for better or for worse, you have the power to do that. And second of all is, do you believe that the love of Christ is enough? Like, do you think that showing Jesus to other people, showing him how much he loves others, do you think that that's enough? Or do you have to add in a whole bunch of other stuff in order to feel like it's enough? And so it's like, but if you believe that the love of Jesus is enough and you believe that you can make an impact, then I believe that, like, we can change the world. And I know that's, like, cheesy to say, but I genuinely believe that, like, we will make an impact in our communities on proportions that we don't understand. Even if we don't, like, see it. Like, it's going to happen. But we've got to have confidence in those two things if we want to do that.
I think this went pretty well. What do you guys think?
I think so.
Turned out all right. Will you speak that blessing over the congregation?
Yeah, this is the priestly blessing that's found in number 6. This is this: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. And I'll pray us out. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all of your goodness and your glory. And thank you that your love is sufficient. You are sufficient. I pray that as we go out, we take all that we've learned about who you've called Meridian to be, that anyone can belong in the kingdom, and they can belong before they believe. I pray that you will help us with our beliefs, help us know that they matter, but not matter too much. God, I pray that you will help us understand that you are calling us to become something greater than who we are right now. Thank you for not just letting us stay the way we are, but wanting us to be better people who love our neighbors better. God, and I thank you for the opportunity that we have to be blessed and to bless others. I pray that our heart, every single time that we are out around others, God, or even when we're by ourselves, that our heart and our mission and our mind would be focused on how can I bless somebody else today? Who needs love? Who needs to see you and all of that you're doing in their life? God, who needs just help? Who needs to learn a new skill? Who can I make an impact on? And I pray that we will always, always remember that your love is sufficient. It's enough. We love you so much, and we will give you all of the praise and the glory for helping us become better people who love each other so much. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.